Carson Beck made me puke.
I mean, literal hogs on the offensive line.
You just needed a cup of ice cream.
Welcome back to the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running, now open in downtown Bainbridge. Hey, I got some good news about Rivertown Running, boys. So, they're your running and athletic shoe store in Bainbridge, and they've got all the brands, Brooks and Mizuno, and, you know, all the brands that you know from running shoes. They're also, as of this week, an authorized retailer. This is good news now. Y'all write this down. Of Lululemon. So if you're looking, if you're in the market.
Men and women?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like running attire. You know, apparently Lululemon is a big deal in the running world, not just in like the athleisure wear world.
Okay.
But I got an 11-year-old that thinks that's the only kind of clothes make. You do too, don't you?
I do. Nor Grace, I eat it up.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You don't have to go to Dothan or Tallahassee. You can go to Bainbridge.
Go to Bainbridge.
Rivertown Running, now open in downtown Bainbridge, bringing you the Southern Football Report. Now, first of all, a little bit of an apology. We were off last week, and we weren't at the beach. We weren't playing golf. We didn't go to the mountains or anything like that. We had a little this little thing called a hurricane, Hurricane Helene, that made its way into South Georgia on Thursday night when we would normally be recording. And then Friday was spent trying to, you know, put everything back together and resume life as normal here. Thankfully, here where we are recording at the Flint Media Studios in Thomasville, Georgia, we were fine. You know, a little bit of, Brian, you were without power for a couple of days.
I was, and it was very miserable.
Yeah, but, I mean, compared to...
If that's the worst of it, we're all right.
Yeah,
right?
We're blessed.
Valdosta and Coffee County, and then obviously up into to North Carolina, man, that's just a bad scene up there, yeah. So... obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with the good folks of North Carolina and our neighbors to the east here in South Georgia. All right, boys, y'all ready?
Let's do it. Back at it.
Let's dive on in. All right, joined in the studio, I am your host, Dustin Dowdy. I'm joined by Kyle Shaver. Kyle, what's up, man?
Licking my wounds, boys. Licking my wounds.
Come on now. It ain't so bad.
Man, I took L's all weekend. Then it carried into the week. So The Dogs lost on Saturday afternoon. My hometown high school team lost on Saturday afternoon. The Braves lost on Tuesday night and Wednesday night.
Yeah.
My flag football team took an L to Brian Howell in the Waffle House All-Stars.
Yeah.
I mean, I need a W, guys. Listen, I need a W.
I'm not going to give you any sympathy. I'm a Florida State and Atlanta Braves fan, so I don't, you know.
Listen, my boys, they're 7-5, and we were talking about it with my wife. I said, you know, they don't know what losing is like. When my oldest was 5, the Dogs were winning the Natty. Last year, our hometown high school team won the state championship. The Braves won a World Series. My kids don't know what it's like to lose, and they were looking around like, what is going on? Well, but we're going to turn it around this week.
Listen, Brian Wynn is half Florida State, half Georgia. Oh, so yeah. He knows a little bit about losing.
Oh, yeah, a lot about losing.
Brian Wynn on my left over here. Now, Brian, when you were in high school, you played football at Pelham.
Pelham High.
Pelham's had some good years, and they've had some bad years. What were things like when you were playing football at Pelham?
The latter part, junior, senior, really good. We whooped Mitchell Baker the first time 36 years, so that was highlight of it.
Mitchell Baker don't even exist anymore.
No, it's Mitchell.
Put him out of business.
Put him out of business. Beat him up.
Yeah.
That and play in Miller County. But, yeah, no, I've been on both sides of butt whooping.
Yeah.
It's good for you, really.
As a Florida State fan, this is no joke. When I was a kid in the 90s, I didn't think that college football was competitive. I really didn't. I just thought, man, like college football is not really that cool because Florida State just wins every week. And then twice a year they play Miami and Florida, and there's a couple of close games in there. But, like, you know, college football is not that big of a deal. Well, then I go to Florida State in 2005.
Mm. Yep.
Which was the beginning of the end of Bobby's tenure where things started. We called it the lost decade. I don't know what we're going to call this one. but we called that the lost decade. And then, you know, Jimbo comes around. Things get better. You think, well, we'll never go through what we went through.
And here we are in 2024
again. And then, you know, The rest is history, as they say. So, Kyle, listen, one loss to your Bulldogs.
I had to remind some friends. I said, guys, we're still in the days.
Yeah.
Like, enjoy the days.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, it could be worse, man. You could be losing to SMU by four touchdowns.
Yeah, it's just been
SMU.
Yeah. All right, so we've introed. Let's do a little review as we do here on the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. We like to look back before we look forward. We'll start by looking back at before we get to the big one, right? So the big one was Georgia-Bama. Before we get to the big one, I just want to get y'all's thoughts on a couple of games that weren't nearly as big. One of them was pretty big. The other one was pretty upsetting. Florida. We'll start with Florida State at SMU. Now, I know that that game was at the same time as the Georgia game, so I don't know if you had a chance to watch much of it, but any thoughts on that besides the obvious?
I was a little – 42 points. Was it 42 to
16?
Yeah, that was just a lot of – I thought a lot of points. I was shocked to see – I wasn't shocked to see Florida State lose. I was shocked to see them lose in that fashion.
So I did a little research on SMU today, and in 1935 they went undefeated, and Matty Bell was their coach. So,
oh, Matty,
I don't know who Matty is.
Yeah,
and so that's pretty impressive. So they've been there before.
Yeah, SMU
won a Natty that year.
Yeah, well, you know, SMU. If y'all have watched Pony Express, the E60 thing,
yeah.
Had SMU not gone through the death penalty, which what they call a death penalty, and nobody's been penalized like that since. Penn State close, but nobody since then. I think if SMU doesn't have that, they're at very least today's Texas A&M.
Oh yeah, at least.
At the very least, like that's their floor because they were. I mean,
they were the real deal in the '80s, in the early '80s. Listen, I'm not surprised that Florida State lost to SMU. Let me give you a little, if you didn't watch the game. So at halftime, it's 14-9. SMU's up 14-9. We're getting the ball coming out of the half. Now, leading up to halftime, there were a couple of questionable decisions that Mike Norvell made. First of all, it's you know, second and goal from the two, and we don't score. Mm. Including back-to-back quarterback runs, not sneaks, runs. One of which where our 255-pound quarterback gets tackled by a defensive back.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And so instead of then kicking the field goal, he decides that he's going to go for it on fourth down. We don't get it. Now, I thought we should have taken the points. Other fans say, no, he made the right call because they would have had to go 99 yards in 50 seconds or whatever. But as hard as it's been for us to score, I'm like, take the 3 points. Now, we did get a safety. So
after that,
we hold them. SMU goes to punt. They snap it over the punter's head. We get two instead of three. You go in down 14-9, and we're getting the ball. I'm thinking, well, we're going to come out. Maybe we'll drive down and score. And our defense is playing pretty well. Man, it all fell apart in the third quarter. It was laughable. And it culminated with the final score to make it 42-16. Was a DJU pick six.
So what you're saying is the juju that was in Tuscaloosa left at halftime.
Yes. And
went
to Dallas. Yes. That's about what happened. Yeah. So, I mean, we get a pick six, and then Mike Norvell decides that's when he's going to make a quarterback change. It's also the drive in which DJU broke his finger, which is the excuse they're using in Tallahassee now for making Brock Glenn the starting quarterback. But –
why do you think – we can get off subject here, but why do you think – he's really hurt?
I think his finger's really broken.
Do you think he's really out for the whole year, though? They're going to just use it as being out for the year?
I think he's played so bad he's going to be out for the rest of the year.
I think if Brock Glenn and this is the problem I have. I think if Brock Glenn was going to be our savior, so to speak, and I don't necessarily like using that term, but you know what I mean.
Right.
If he was going to be the one – to turn things around on offense, that they would have already gone to Brock Glenn.
Yeah, they see him every day.
You know, I was looking at some recruiting notes from him. Brock, not even this week, from a long time ago, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
But they said his, football IQ is probably the best they've ever seen.
Dude's been dealt a raw hand, though, who he's played.
His athletic ability, you know, is good. But, like they said, as far as on paper, he's, you know, got a heck of an IQ as far as football goes.
He's kind
of
like that pitcher who was really good in the and coming up, and he's in the minors, and then he's striking everybody out. You know, he's doing all the things, and you bring him up too early.
Yeah.
And he gets shell-shocked, and he's never the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Mike Soroka.
Yeah, there you go. You put a name on it. But, like, it's that guy.
Was he four-star?
He was
a borderline 3-4. Yeah.
But came in with potential. Mm-hmm. But he's played against who? Like, Louisville in the ACC championship. Then he played against Georgia on short notice, mm-hmm. both times on short notice. Mm-hmm. And then now his first starts against Clemson on Saturday. Golly, poor guy.
Some would say that this is his start that he's going to be the most prepared for because he's had all week knowing he's the starter, and it's a home game. So if you think about the stakes that they were up against in that ACC championship game, he comes in as the third string freshman quarterback to preserve an undefeated season and presumably a playoff bid. And so imagine the pressure on your true freshman quarterback that hasn't played all year.
And found out like Wednesday of that week.
Yeah, so Tate Rodemaker, who had been the backup to Jordan Travis, suffered a concussion in the Florida game. And they're like, oh, well, maybe he'll be able to play. So he's, you know, a couple of days of them going back and forth before they finally said, no, he can't play.
I'm going to skip ahead. Okay, FSU.
Come on now.
That's my upset.
You got Clemson on upset?
Hey, I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm going to be bold tonight.
All right. I love it. Hey, listen, here's the thing.
I think my boy going to shine.
There was in 2021, Florida State goes to Clemson. This was the year that we started 0-4 with a loss to Jacksonville State.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Clemson. Nobody's given us any shot to win that game. We didn't win it. We ended up losing like 35-31. But we held the lead in the fourth quarter thanks to Jermaine Johnson. Mm-hmm. He had a strip sack, recovered for a touchdown, and Lawrence Toafili, who's now a senior. So, I mean, there's pieces there that you could convince me that Florida State's got a chance.
Wouldn't it, Josh, that said they'd go?
Josh said they would go 0-4. Josh Lajeunesse said they would go 0-4 and get their first win versus SMU.
He missed it by a week.
So he got Cal and SMU flipped. We'll see. All right, let's move on from my poor little Seminole. Let's talk about Kentucky at Ole Miss. Thoughts on that? As a Georgia fan, does it make you feel a little bit better about that game versus Kentucky?
I think so. You felt good for a little while, and then Bama game started. I think Kentucky may have had their slip up at South Carolina. Mm. And maybe South Carolina's really good. We can get to that. We're getting a little bit. But I do think that Kentucky's better than we give them credit for. And they showed that defensively.
I'm buying more Kentucky now than I was
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you hold that offense at Ole Miss to what they did. That's impressive. I don't care who you are.
Defensively, I think Kentucky's really good.
Yeah.
Big, strong.
Yeah.
They can pressure the quarterback. They get off the field on third down. And that's the two of the most important things you can do on defense.
Well, and it stands to reason. I mean, Mark Stoops is a defensive guy. I don't know that they're going to be a 10-win team or anything, but if Kentucky's an 8-win team, which I think is absolutely reasonable now.
Right.
I don't know what the rest of their schedule looks like, but, I mean, that's a Mark Stoops Kentucky team.
Yeah.
You know, 7, 8, 9 wins every now and then. Got the best job in college football, probably.
I think his contract used to, this is before Texas A&M came after him last year, but it used to be written, like, if he finished with, like, a 7-5 record or 8-4 record, it was an automatic 1-year extension.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, he better go ahead and tell him he wants it for this year. I think he's getting it. All right, real quick, let's get to the big one, right? So, Georgia-Bama, let's review that one a little bit. I want to hear from the Georgia fans how you were feeling watching that first half.
I was feeling horrible. Carson Beck made me puke. I think he might have been getting two paychecks.
Yeah, one from Bama.
I mean, how do you go from that to that? And then ended up throwing for 300 yards.
In a half.
Really in a quarter and a half,
because the beginning of the third quarter was not great either. It was more of the same.
Carson was feeling himself, man. He looked like a scared puppy the first half. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah, I kind of felt like had we completed the pass to Arian Smith down the sideline,
it would have changed the whole game.
Play of the game, a little more confidence, good field position. But then from that moment on, it was like the sand just falling through your hand, and you could just see it happening. I mean, it was odd to think. Now, Jalen Milroe, be it what it may, he must hate Georgia. I'm sure he does, because he plays his best against the Dogs.
He played great.
He
threw for four touchdowns.
And ran for what?
I don't know how many he ran.
He had ran for 100 yards. I think he's the first quarterback to throw for 300, run for 100, and be responsible for a certain number of touchdowns against a power five.
Carson. They blew our defensive line off the ball like they were on skids.
First half. I'm sitting there watching. So we've got the game. We got both games on at my house. Florida State game on the back porch and the Georgia game on inside. And I can see both TVs from the back porch. And I'm hearing just like wailing and gnashing of teeth in the living room. And I'm sitting there nailing my fingernails, you know, watching the Florida State game. And then all of a sudden the second half happens.
Yeah.
So at what point during the second half did you realize, okay, Georgia might make this a game? Because leading up to that, it looked like a blowout.
I think after the safety, it was 30-7. And I was like, man, if they're going to do anything, they got to score right now. Like, you got to score. You got to make it 14. You got to cut the lead in half, basically, right? Make it 30-14, 30-15, whatever. If you go for two, whatever. When they scored, and it was that long, I think it was a long drive, if I remember right. And I was like, man, that took too long.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have enough time to do that again and again and again and catch up. But we score, and we immediately stop three and out. And I was like, okay. And then we kind of marched on the field pretty quick, and I was like, we might have a shot. And then Carson gets rolling. They work the running game in some. You know, ECN had some good carries. I think I saw a stat that, like, we threw it 60 times in that game.
We got to have some hands, though, man. We dropped way too many balls.
So the biggest glaring thing thus far in the season, and it came to it was in a spotlight on Saturday night, was Brock Bowers no longer wears red and black.
Oh, God.
I mean, Oscar Delp was bad. The dude from Stanford was bad. Like, there wasn't an answer in that. And that's always been Carson Beck's out, right? Against Auburn last year, that was his out. Dogs were down. He comes back to
– We wouldn't have lost that Bowers. Game if we had –
He just didn't. I didn't
Brock
feel
Bowers.
Like he
oh,
had
yeah.
a.
We wouldn't have lost. We'd have won it by two touchdowns.
I didn't feel like he had a lot of confidence in the guys that he was going to. He didn't in that moment when he felt pressure. He didn't have a guy I knew I could just throw it to.
He. The first half was horrible. He folded. I mean, he could not take it. If he does that the rest of the season, we're done.
Brian Howell said, if college football was like the NFL and you could do free agency, he'd be shopping for an alpha wide receiver right now.
Oh, big time.
You have to.
We need some hands. We don't really have a person that's got, like, really good hands.
Georgia's had trouble the last several years getting a top-level receiver, right? They've been in the running for some five-stars, right? But they've not been able to close the deal on any of them. They wind up at Bama, they wind up at Auburn, they wind up at Ohio State or wherever. And you really can't fault them because of who Kirby is, right? He's a run-first, control the ball. We don't have to score 50 points to win the game kind of deal. But I think right now we're seeing some of that. Like, we don't have a dude. Now, we got serviceable guys. We got a lot of four-stars who are good. But we don't – even like Ladd McConkey, who you would say is probably the best receiver that Georgia's had in the last several years. What was he out of high school?
Yeah.
A marginal three-star that just happened to come turn into and be developed into a –
You can't
a top ranked receiver. No, you can't do that every year.
Yeah, the odds are against you. It's the same thing with the Stetson Bennett's of the world.
Right.
Like, you know, there are plenty of walk on quarterbacks that love the school they show up at that don't turn into Stetson.
You're not going to hit it every year. You're going to not hit it more often than you will. You know,
Brian Wynn, somebody said that Jalen Milroe was finally turned loose, like the new coaching staff, Kalen DeBoer and crew in Tuscaloosa turned him loose, and that's the product we're seeing now.
They ain't turned him loose. He just got up for Georgia. They may have let him throw the ball or gave him some plays that, I mean, yeah, he just.
That's he, almost good. Critiquing Nick Saban, which is almost, like.
I said this too. My cousins are all big. They went to Bama. That was a big text thread after the game. They got a lot of control. Mm-hmm. But
I get out of those quick.
But yeah, well, this one got crazy. But anyway, I told them, and I think I do stand by this, and no discredit to Kalen DeBoer. I think he is what he is. And I still believe that, like, over time, there'll be that erosion from what Saban was. And I said at the beginning of the podcast several weeks ago, as long as those guys that were recruited by Saban are there, and really the spirit, Saban's kind of mantra and like what he lived by lives in guys like Jalen Milroe, right? And I felt like he decided in that game, whether it was turned loose or not turned loose or whatever, he decided he was not going to be the reason that Bama lost the game. And he was able to do things that he hadn't done before, hadn't done in a long time, and looked like a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, there's no way around it.
The other thing about that is, though, the two guys that ended the game for Alabama.
Freshmen.
Both freshmen. Both who I think were originally committed to Alabama, but then Kalen DeBoer had to re-recruit for a day or two probably before National Signing Day in December. But, I mean, I saw something funny the other day, and they were listing the four starters in the secondary for Georgia, and it was like five-star K.J. Bolden and four-star so-and-so and five-star this guy and four-star this guy. And then
walk on Dan Jackson. Let's not forget about him.
The picture of the freshman whose name escapes me right now that scored the game winning touchdown.
Ryan Williams.
Oh. And an 11th grader. Ryan
if I heard.
Because he's 17 years
all right,
old.
So we were joking during the
that
game.
That boy, bad.
Yeah.
He's good. He is so good. If I heard he was 17 one time.
Yeah.
It was about like back when Jake Fromm was playing. And every time Jake Fromm did something good, they had to say, you know, Jake Fromm played in the League World Series.
Yeah.
It was like they had to say Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old, or the 17-year-old Ryan Williams scored. It was all the time. Like, dude's just a dude, and he's just really good.
He's really good at football. It's like when Nick O'Leary played at Florida State. He was Jack Nicklaus's grandson.
Right.
Like, every time he'd make a play, well, you know, his grandfather's Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah. But, Ryan Williams is a dude. They got Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. And they say he's the best receiver to come out of high school in a long time. I don't know. That dude, Ryan Williams, he's legit.
He's not that big. He don't look that big. His frame and all. Yeah. He's only been
in college for, 6 months, 8 months?
Boy's bad.
He's good.
Where'd he come from?
I don't know.
Mobile.
He reclassified, though, right?
Yeah.
He graduated early. And
he's from Mobile. Same areas like Julio Jones in that general area.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good thing he's not at LSU.
Yeah.
Because those guys often end up there, too. All right, let's move on to our preview section of the show. A couple of games that I think, let's start at the 3:30 time slot. So, first of all, you can park your rear end in front of a TV at 3:30 and flip back and forth during the commercial breaks and halftime if you want to, and you'll find several good games. Of course, your Bulldogs play at 3:30 in the Deep South's oldest rivalry, or whatever they call it on ABC. But a couple of other games at 3:30 that I think are worth like flipping to. Like, we're going to watch the Georgia-Auburn game. But you can flip to Iowa at Ohio State.
Nah.
Iowa's got a defense.
They don't have athletes on defense.
But they'd stop everybody. You don't think that'll be a close one?
Nah. Briefly. It'll be interesting for a quarter.
To the third quarter.
Here's the thing about Ohio State. I don't know if this is a real test for them this week. But it's the first one. And I just like the fact that Iowa continues to win like just enough games to make us continue talking about them. They do it with defense. And every year you're like, well, Iowa ain't no good, man. They can't score more than 21 points a game. And here you look up and they're 10-2 and they beat somebody in their bowl game. You know, it's just
hanging around.
So you don't think that's worth flipping to. How about Ole Miss at USC, South Carolina? That game.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely worth flipping
to. That's at 3:30 as well.
That's definitely worth watching because it's in Columbia. Spoiler alert. I've got that as my upset pick of the week. Ole Miss at South Carolina.
I didn't write that one down.
Ole Miss is favored by 9 on the road. They might win it, but they won't win it by 9. I think South Carolina, especially there. If you've never been to a game in Columbia, I went to a game. It was 2010. One of the hottest days I've ever been. So hot. And we got our butts whipped up there. And the stadium, it felt like a night game at noon.
That was that
Lattimore's coming out party.
Yeah. Yeah, so that game. What about the Auburn-Georgia game? Georgia's favored big. It's in Athens. How do you don't pick it yet because that's coming up in our picks section. But how you feel about that, Brian Wynn?
I think it's gonna be a tight game. Always is. It's gonna be close. I think we'll win. But
spoiler alert: Brian Howell says it's gonna be close too.
It's gonna be close always. When we play Florida, it'll be close.
I tend to think different. I think the scare in Kentucky, I thought would have done what. I think that the loss at Bama is going to do.
We're going to see how tough
it's going to galvanize. I think them seeing, hey, we can get off the mat. We can do the things we say we're going to do against a good team, right? I think that's going to be the difference. I don't know if they'll cover. We'll get to that later.
The thing is, they got them deep bruises now. And when I play ball, you play one like Kentucky, you get some. And it don't matter they had a week in between in Alabama. They still a little sore.
Yeah.
And after Alabama, this coming, they still don't want to get out of bed. I promise you.
Yeah, you're right.
They're just going to keep. It's, you know.
Well, like Kirby and everybody, every coach always says, by this point in the year, everybody's sore, everybody's hurting, et cetera. So, I mean, Auburn's probably feeling that too, playing Oklahoma last week.
We're about to see who's toughest.
You know, I think a different, you know, both teams, Auburn and Georgia, both had the lead in the fourth quarter. Mm. Georgia with 2.5 minutes left. I think Auburn had it with maybe 5 minutes left or so. So both of them feel like, man, as bad as we played, we still should have won.
Yeah.
So who's going to respond out of that? Honestly, I just trust Kirby more than I trust Hugh Freeze. In a lot of aspects. Yeah. But
with your wallet.
Yeah. With my wife. A lot of things. But, like, I feel like Kirby's shown a track record of having his teams respond. Even just back to the Bama game, you get hit in the mouth and you respond nearly immediately in the second half, right?
Has Georgia lost 2 games in a row under Kirby?
Maybe 2016.
You'd have to go early on
the first year.
I was looking, that was out of 28 consecutive SEC games, that was our first loss.
Regular season game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I think Kirby's like in the last 2 years or two and some change. He's like 48-0.
Yeah.
Against everybody else.
Not named Bama.
Not named Alabama.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think it was the A on the side of the helmet. I thought it was the NS on the sidelines. And it turns out it's the A on the side of the helmet right now.
It is for sure.
You know, which is, I mean, that's saying something. That's, you know. Georgia's destroyed everybody else they played. All right, let's move on to the night games. We'll start with the 7 o'clock game, Florida State versus Clemson. Brock Glenn starting at quarterback this week in place of the, air quotes, injured DJU. Supposedly, he's got a knee problem, which would explain why he looks like he's an old man out there. And then he did break his finger. They showed it on the broadcast. That sucker was pointed the other way on his throwing hand. And to his credit, he went out there and finished the drive and all that. Brock Glenn, as you alluded to earlier, Kyle, his 3 starts at Florida State have been in the ACC championship game, the bowl game versus Georgia, the, you know, infamous Orange Bowl where it's him and all the other JV guys out there playing Georgia. And then now at home against Clemson, who, in my opinion, spoiler alert, I've got them in my underrated category coming up here in just a few minutes, but we're not going to pick it just yet. We'll pick it in a few minutes, but any quick hitters, any thoughts on that game? Florida State stand a chance?
I think so.
I don't know.
I mean, I know they haven't done well, but
there's reasons that you could find. You could say, well, it's a home game. Okay. Yeah.
That's about all I think they have going for them, honestly.
We've done this before under Mike Norvell where the team had no chance.
I think Mike also knows, in my opinion, he's got to figure it out. I mean, he's getting to the point where he can't have any excuses.
Right.
And if he don't figure it out, are we change quarterbacks? That's what everybody's been saying.
Yeah.
That's the reason I think either he's going to figure it out this week or he might as well be getting ready to.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got enough equity built up. He ain't going to get fired. But he's lost the patience of the fan base for this season. And spoiler alert, Florida State opens the season next year versus Alabama.
Oh, wow.
So, hey, let's put a few things together at the conclusion of this season, Mike, so we feel a little bit better about starting next year versus Alabama. All right, let's move on from that one to a game that I think might be interesting, Tennessee at Arkansas.
Yeah,
7:30 on
ABC. I think it's interesting. You have two totally different mindsets on the same field. You've got the spread them out, kind of fast-paced Tennessee, and you've got Sam Pittman, and I love cold beer, and you got that on the other side,
yeah,
right? And
yep.
And you got, I mean, literal hogs on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And it's just going to – it's a different philosophy, but you've got Bobby Petrino, who's more like Josh Heupel. It's going to be interesting. That's one – as we're going to the game in Athens this weekend. That's what I want to get back to the house for to see – I think it's going to be closer than the experts think. To steal a Lee Corso quote.
Okay,
I think Arkansas is going to do very well.
Yeah, I'm a Sam Pittman fan. Like I wouldn't want.
He's
him
just
to
a
be,
good old boy.
I wouldn't want him to be the coach at Florida State because I think his ceiling
is what he is.
Is what he is.
Yeah.
But man, if he was the coach at Florida State right now, we probably wouldn't be 1-4.
I think he instills a lot of grit in his teams.
Yeah.
He just, they're just not, they may have, I don't know enough about Arkansas to say this really, but you don't see them get blown out really bad. Like they may have, but you see them fight a lot. And I think that's Sam Pittman's thing.
How about UCF at Florida, night game in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium? UCF is favored in this game. Don't pick it yet. Just give me your quick hitter thoughts on the Golden Knights. Gus Malzahn and the Knights down from Orlando making the short trip, what, an hour up the road to Gainesville? Hour and a half?
I think this might be the week, unfortunately.
So you think this could be the week that Billy gets sent home?
If you get beat by UCF at home, I don't care how good UCF is.
And we don't, they're, I mean,
it doesn't matter how good they are. They're good. Let's be honest. They're a good football team. But it doesn't matter to the Florida faithful. That's little brother UCF, and you just don't get beat by them.
It took forever for Florida and Florida State to schedule those guys.
Right. Like they weren't even worthy of, like, being schedule at all. You couldn't even, like, oh, you're playing UCF? Well, now it's, man, UCF is on your schedule. Like, you need to win that game. That's a good win.
You know what they say about UCF, right? It stands for you can't finish. So if Florida, like, regains the lead in the fourth quarter, you remember I said that.
But, I'll remember it. I don't think it's going to come to that, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our overrated and underrated segment. Brian Wynn, let's start with you.
I got Nebraska's underrated. I changed it from Oklahoma.
Okay. You got Nebraska. I want Nebraska to be good. I'm waiting on them to finally break through under Matt Rhule.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite teams as a small lad, and they're anyway. That's my underrated.
Okay. Underrated. I got Indiana's underrated.
Okay,
they've been kind of the Cinderella this week. I've been, they're 5-0.
Okay,
they have scored the most points and most points per, actually most points, 244 points in 5 games.
Oh wow!
They have the
50
most
points a game.
49 points a game, 48 and some change a game. They have one more game played than Ohio State, but still points per game is slightly better than Ohio State. They have two Big Ten wins, which has not been something that they've done since Michael Penix left.
Right.
And then goes out to Washington, plays for DeBoer.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is history. Indiana, they're sneaky. I saw an article this week that said, can Indiana make the playoffs? Yes, that is the truth. And it was about their path to making it. I think they have to play. They have Michigan on the schedule. They have USC left to play still. But they've been a sneaky good team thus far.
Man, they might challenge for it if they're like 9-3.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same. You win the right game or lose the right game, you're right there at it. And I mean, if you're 10-2 out of the Big Ten, 9-3 out of the Big Ten with some help, you're a marginal at-large pick in the playoff. So we'll see. But that's an interesting team.
I've got in my underrated segment, I've got Clemson. They're ranked number 15 in the country. Their only loss is opening week to Georgia. Now, that first half, they looked like they belonged on the field.
Yeah.
With Georgia. Georgia pulled away in the second half to win that one 35-3. Since then, they've just blown everybody out, scoring 50 and 60 points against everybody. Now, I hope that they come to Tallahassee and prove me wrong, that they come to Tallahassee and prove that they are overrated. But right now, I've got them as underrated. In overrated, I got a couple of teams that start with an M. One of them is Missouri.
Michigan.
The other one's Michigan.
Michigan's at what, 10?
Michigan's ranked 10th in the country.
I had Michigan or Utah.
Michigan has won back-to-back games 27-24, including this last week against Minnesota.
Another M.
At home.
Yeah.
They haven't played a road game yet.
They've not played on the road at all, period.
This is their first road game of the season. They're going to Washington.
Oh, wow.
And Washington is favored. Washington's 3-2 on the season. And they're favored by 2.5 at home versus Michigan.
Wow. I've got an M team, too. One of the same ones. Missouri. They've struggled mightily on defense the last two games. Boston College and Vandy. I mean, let's just...
Yeah, it was 30-27 versus Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and then they won like the other game, 24-21 against Boston College. It had to come back at the end. You get a winning field goal at the end of the game.
They might get blown out by a few SEC teams.
It's, their defensive coordinator is now the defensive coordinator at LSU.
Oh.
He left and went with Brian Kelly.
I'm watching LSU, by the way. Still top 15.
Sneaky.
Just still hanging around out there. I haven't looked at their schedule lately, but I'm curious to see what their future looks like.
Do they have, I wonder if they have Oklahoma or Texas.
I think they have Oklahoma. They're the team that's going to get into the playoff, not on name alone, but, you know, it'll be like, well, LSU's 9-3, and they beat, you know.
So they have a loss currently to USC.
Yep, they're lost to USC. So far they've played Nicholls, South Carolina, 36-33. Maybe South Carolina's better than we think.
Yeah.
UCLA, South Alabama. They beat South Alabama 42-10. They're off this week, and then their next game is a home game versus Ole Miss.
Ooh. Mm. South Alabama, they scored like 80 points a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, it was against their kind of bottom-tier FBS. This was against the FCS team, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I don't care if you score 80 points.
There's only so many minutes in a game.
That's right.
So, LSU, after Ole Miss, Brian, win, they go to Arkansas, to Texas A&M. Mm. Then they get
two losses.
Then they get a bye before hosting Alabama.
That's a big loss.
At Florida.
They might win that one.
At home versus Vanderbilt, and then they close out the season versus Oklahoma.
They're going to lose to Oklahoma.
So in that scenario, they're 7-5.
7-5.
I'm thinking they're 9-3.
You're saying basically that they split the – they lose to Alabama – and they split the other four.
They split Ole Miss and Oklahoma. So, in my opinion, they're going to beat Arkansas and Texas A&M. But Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Bama are their three toughest games.
Yeah.
And they're all at home.
Not bad.
No. LSU back in the day, man.
Oh,
they got some heck awesome athletes.
I don't want to say I like LSU. But, I mean, they're one of those teams where I'm like, oh, yeah, look at LSU. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And then purple and gold. That's my old alma mater, you know, the Bearcats, which, by the way, could use a win if they could find one.
They need a win.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, I'm a Bearcat, a Florida State fan, a Braves fan.
You're struggling this week too, brother.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on.
Hey, but your flag football team did win by one
point. That's right. Our boys are undefeated in back-to-back seasons so far.
They have Charlie Ward Jr.
Yeah.
Also named
Carter. Yeah.
Joker can fly.
Brian Howell said, we might be witnessing greatness, and we'll look back and say, remember when we coached Carter in flag football?
I told
he messes up, that's what I'll say.
Yeah. I told Brian.
I told
Brian Howell, I said, you just scrapped the playbook and you just found the best player in this league.
Hey, listen, we've got some good players on the team.
We've
got some boys that can run, and just about all of our boys play good defense.
Yeah.
But there are times where just on offense, it's like, man, just give it to Carter.
He's good.
I don't know if we can score here, but we need to. So just give it to Carter.
His dad, I don't know if this is a podcast or not, his granddad is Dondale Green, who was a standout running back at Thomas County, scholarship at Georgia Southern, was on some of the good Georgia Southern teams as a running back there in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, well, so there you go.
That he's got the, he has the right pedigree for sure.
Yeah. Skip good generation.
Good family.
And I'll tell you what I like about him. When we're not having success, and he's got to work on this, like every kid does, but he gets upset, man. Like, he's mad when we don't score a touchdown. I'm like, oh, buddy, it's okay. We're going to score next time.
I've got some of those. It's good and bad. You have to figure out how to channel that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move to our picks. All right. So, I don't have Brian Howells, but I think y'all got him in that group text somewhere. All right. Let's start with Missouri at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 2.5-point favorite. Brian Wynn, who you got?
Missouri. Cover.
Missouri.
Missouri's getting 2.5 at A&M.
Who you got, Kyle?
I've got A&M. I've got Missouri. They were my other upset alert team, because I had them overrated, I couldn't say it was an upset. So they're upset by rank only. I think A&M's ranked 25th. Missouri's like 9th, 8th, depending on which ranking you look at. But I got A&M.
I'm taking A&M. I don't know why. I guess I'm pulling for Mike Elko. I don't know what about that. I'm of the opinion that Missouri's overrated, and they've had a couple of close games in a row. And yeah. All right, who'd Brian Howell take?
Brian Howell took Missouri in the points.
Missouri. All right, let's go to Clemson at Florida State. Y'all be nice now. Brian Wynn, who you got?
Florida State.
Florida State, okay.
Taking 14.5.
Gonna fall on the sword.
Okay. Kyle?
I got Clemson. Clemson to cover the 14.5.
That's a smart play. I'm taking Florida State, but my heart's not. All right. Brian Howell took Clemson, right?
He took Clemson.
All right, let's go to UCF. 2.5-point favorites on the road in Gainesville versus the Florida Gators. Kyle?
I got the Knights.
Mm.
Like I said, I think it's the week.
Brian?
UCF.
UCF.
Yes, sir.
How about Howell?
Brian Howell, UCF also.
It is unanimous. We are all taking UCF. There's some Gator fans out there going to be mad at us. Tennessee, 13.5-point favorites on the road at Arkansas. This is a night game in Fayetteville. Tennessee, 13.5-point favorites. Kyle, who you got?
Whoopig.
Arkansas.
Give me the 13.5. Like I said, I think it's going to be a lot better. It's a lot better game than folks think it's going to be.
Okay. Brian Wynn?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. How about Howell?
Brian Howell had Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I say 4
He's
points.
Got some Tennessee, like, in his fam, like, married into it.
I'm taking Tennessee, too. I want to take Arkansas. I like Sam Pittman. I want to believe, but I'm taking Tennessee. All right, the big one, Auburn at Georgia. Brian Wynn?
Oh,
Georgia. A 23-point favorite.
No, I say 7.
So Auburn's going to cover.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm putting you down for Auburn.
Auburn's getting there at the beginning of the game. As far as this goes, they're up 3 touchdowns. We've seen the dogs do it though. Give me the dogs.
Kyle
covering 23.
All right. What about Brian?
We're gonna have Carson Beck go in the indoor facility, play a half,
and then come out,
for the first quarter, and he'll be lathered up and ready to go. But Brian Howell said UGA is gonna win, but Auburn. With 23 points.
Auburn covers.
Yeah.
Let me think about this for a second. So, 23 points. If Georgia wins 35-12, then Auburn covers, right? No, Georgia would cover in that scenario.
No, if they ran 23-23.
No, I'm sorry. 35-12.
35-12, it's a push. That's 23 points. So, nobody wins. Right? 23 yeah. and 12 is 35. So, if Georgia wins 35-14... Then Auburn wins.
Georgia's going to win. Georgia's going to cover. I'm taking the dogs. All right, so to recap, Brian Wynn is taking Missouri, Auburn to cover, Arkansas, UCF, Florida State. Kyle Shaver's got A&M, Georgia, Arkansas, UCF, Clemson. Brian Howell's got Missouri, Auburn, Tennessee, UCF, Clemson. And Dustin's taking A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, UCF, and Florida State. Man, that Florida State one. Like, if I wasn't a Florida State fan, I'd take Clemson. I mean, they're going to win by 14 or more. They're 14.5-point favorite, so if it's...
Mike's got to show out, man.
I do think that Florida State has kind of, it's like that, back into the corner. You're at home.
Rabbit dog.
This is kind of like, if you're going to make your stand, you better make it right now.
Yeah.
Because if not, you, I think you lose the fan base for the season, you lose the team for the season, you have to put up a really good fight.
If he don't win
this
week, he's going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah. And you're right about that. He's going to lose a lot of
NIL support.
Fan support. I have seen Mike win these games, though. So, like, 2020, this Florida State team was awful, and they beat a top-5-ranked North Carolina
team. They got figured out this week.
Yeah, I mean, they've hung with, like, Notre Dame when they were a top-10 team and Florida State wasn't. And they've, you know, I've seen them do this before. I've not seen this version of the Seminoles do it. All right, let's move on to our upset alert. We've kind of previewed this a little bit. I'll go first. I've got Ohio State on upset, but not that I think they're going to lose. They're 18.5-point favorites. I think Iowa covers that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What about you, Brian Wynn?
I already said mine.
Yeah?
Clemson's going to lose by 3 points.
Man, I hope you're right. Who you got on upset alert, Kyle?
I went back and forth. Like I said, I had Missouri on upset alert, namely because they were ranked 9th. But I have Ole Miss getting beat by South Carolina at home. I think South Carolina's going to – I think – they're better than the experts think.
Lane Kiffin's already quietly taken the Florida job, and he's not focused in Oxford anymore, and so that's why
maybe
they're struggling.
Maybe so.
I've also got USC Southern Cal on upset alert at Minnesota. Mm. They're an 8-point – Southern Cal's an 8-point favorite. Minnesota just hung with Michigan. We know that means they can play big boy ball, and we saw what USC and Michigan looked like earlier.
I think some people on the podcast had USC as overrated early in the year.
I think you did.
I think I mentioned them. Yeah, the LSU win kind of like, maybe they're good. Then they go beat somebody else.
Yeah, they narrowly lost to Michigan.
Yeah, but maybe they're still overrated.
One more that I want to put out there real quick, and this is just because I'm a Florida State fan. Miami's a 10-point favorite at Cal. At Cal. This is their first game outside of the state of Florida. They've played two road games. They went to Gainesville and Tampa, 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
10:30 Eastern.
Yes.
I wonder if they went out there like yesterday, like Wednesday.
The equipment truck left like 2 days ago.
It had to.
That's a hump.
That's a long way.
About 3,000 miles.
From Miami.
You got to get out of Florida before you start going.
They cut across the Gulf.
I don't know.
They should have put that on a boat.
I know, right?
Should have caught Helene.
I got Miami on upset alert. I don't know if Cal's good enough to beat them. But that's a long road trip.
Cal's got some confidence.
There's a lot of them boys ain't never flown either.
Yeah. And like I said, their two road games have been to Gainesville and to Tampa. It's the first trip outside of Florida.
Yeah. That's a long trip, boys.
That's a long way.
You imagine riding a bus out of there?
Woo.
Son. Couldn't do what we do. We couldn't have the college football we have today without airplanes.
They won't have five fans in the stands.
Yeah, they ain't many Miami fans anyway.
Uh-uh.
They're all on the internet.
They live on the internet.
Yeah. Lance Godwin, the only one.
One of the few.
He's the only one in Southwest Georgia.
Jose the kicker. Don't leave him out. He calls in on the Friday football show. All right, let's move on to our top 12. Brian Wynn, you want to go first?
Yes, sir. Number one, Alabama. Two, Georgia. Three, Texas, Tennessee, Penn State, Oregon, Miami, Michigan, Ole Miss, LSU, Notre Dame, and Mississippi.
All right.
Brian, I started at the top and went down.
Brian Wynn always bringing the power rankings to the show. All right. I like that. I don't know how I feel about – I don't want to spoil mine. I'm with you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kyle.
All right. So I have a true – top 12 at the end of the season projection. Big changes this week. Memphis lost. They've been our sweetheart for a while since we've last had a podcast.
Yes.
Boise State at number 12 is our highest group of five. And I think everybody's assuming all prognosticators are assuming that whoever the group of five team is going to be 12. Maybe not.
That's true. It could be.
But for now, Boise State. Kansas State as the Big 12 runner-up.
Okay.
I had Oklahoma State in there for a while. They are out of the top 12 for me. Oregon, Big 10 at large at number 10. Clemson, ACC runner-up at number 9. Tennessee SEC at large at 8. Penn State Big Ten at large at 7. Texas SEC at large. And this is going to spoil the beginning here. Alabama SEC runner up at 5. Iowa State Big 12 champ. UGA at 3 as the SEC champ. Miami at 2 ACC champ. Ohio State at 1 Big Ten champ. I think Miami and Ohio State have a chance to go undefeated. Georgia obviously does not have that chance any longer.
So you got Iowa State as your Big 12 champ.
Ah, the Cyclones.
So you must have read my mind. I've actually got UNLV as my Big 12 or as my 12th team.
UNILV?
Yeah. and only because I'm pulling for them. They're undefeated. They're in a good spot to be.
And their quarterback quit.
And
the running back.
So now I'm like, well, I'm a UNLV fan. Like, go Rebels. I want UNLV to prove that they can do it without those boys. So I got them at number 12. I got Penn State at number 11. I've got Notre Dame at number 10.
Oh, back in.
Got them back in for now.
Me and Brian Wynn said not a chance.
Yeah. We'll see what Notre Dame's got. They're going to have multiple opportunities for the rest of the season to see if they got it. I got Oregon at number 9, but I ain't sold on that yet. I've got Miami out of my top 4 and in as the ACC runner-up. That tracks with who I told you was underrated earlier. So I've got Miami at number 8. At number 7, who I previously thought was going to be my SEC runner-up, Texas. We'll see if Arch Manning, how long he has to play as the starter. Is he in there this week?
I don't know.
All right. At number 6, Michigan as my Big Ten runner-up. At number 5, coming in second place in the SEC. After a big game this past weekend, we'll see what they look like at the end of the year. I got Alabama coming in at number 5 as my SEC runner-up. No joke, Kyle. I have Iowa State as my Big 12 champ. And the reason I printed off their schedule is because, listen to this. So right now, Iowa State is 4-0, and they've beaten Iowa.
Yep.
They beat them 20-19.
Early in the year, right?
Yep. So far, Iowa State has allowed 29 points in 4 games.
That's right at a touchdown a game.
They've got Baylor, West Virginia, UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, Cincinnati, and they close out the season Utah and Kansas State.
Can we swap schedules?
Right. That's weak. So if they go, let's say they go 10-2, they're undefeated right now. That means they go 8-2 or 6-2 the rest of the way. And if their losses are to the right teams, they might be your Big 12 champ.
Yeah, because theirs the same as the top 2 teams come out.
Mm-hmm. I've got Iowa State winning the Big 12. I've got Clemson winning the ACC. I'm buying Clemson stock right now, just like Dabo said a year or two ago.
You going to buy by now?
If Clemson stock, you better buy it right now. I'm buying Clemson stock today. I've got Ohio State at 2, and I got the Dogs at 1.
Look at there.
I mean, if Bama had blown Georgia out, if they'd have beat them by 30 points.
I think Georgia's a better team.
Joe Klatt said this week on his podcast, listen to his podcast. He's pretty good if you haven't listened to it. I'm not a big fan of him, but the podcast is pretty good. He's got some good things to say. He's kind of a shock jock. He's going to say some crazy stuff. But his thing this week is he came out of that game feeling better about Georgia, even though they lost, than they did about Alabama. And I got to thinking, like, how do you do that? But I think an old Alabama team,
they'd have stomped on the...
They'd have put their foot on our throats.
I think you're just saying that because you're depressed a little, guy.
No. This is not my words. This is your class words.
You were just looking for a rainbow.
I need to find one.
After last week.
Listen.
You just needed a cup of ice cream.
I'm drinking the Kirby Kool-Aid, man. Like, if I've got to pick a... Kirby's post-game speech...
It was good. They said there's an extended version.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Now, it reminded me, you might not like this as a Georgia fan, me comparing Mike Norvell's speeches to Kirby's, because Kirby's are legendary. But having listened to a bunch of Mike Norvell speeches, especially after a loss, like the content itself was very similar. And that is, they won one more moment than we did. But man, if you don't want to come to practice, like normally after a devastating loss, like I would think practice is like, man, here we go. We're going to get
it. I've read some reports this week. Georgia's practice has been good this week. Getting some Jordan Hall, who's been out, they say he has a pretty good chance of playing this week. Last week, Ladd McConkey Jr., London, can't remember his last name, Humphreys from Vandy, who had a pretty good game a few weeks ago. He should be back from mono. Not a ton of injuries out of the Alabama game to speak of. Deep bruises, like Brian said. But what I've read is it's been a good week in Athens.
Now, what I will tell you,
a confident week.
What I will tell you is, after back-to-back showings from the Bulldogs that were underwhelming, Kentucky and then Alabama, I don't know that they're the clear-cut favorite to win the national championship like I thought they were a month ago.
Now, well, that's why I had them at three, right? Because Georgia does not. I think they have a chance to win the SEC. But can the committee? I think whoever wins the SEC, they're going to have that extra whatever, right?
Yeah.
But can you put a team, whether it's Alabama that loses somebody else and wins the SEC championship, or Texas who has a loss, and I think Ohio State's going undefeated. I think Miami's going undefeated. Can you put a one-loss SEC champion above those two undefeated teams?
Why couldn't you?
We just saw it. We just saw it last year. We saw a one-loss SEC champion go in over an undefeated. Now, the injury is the variable.
Florida State.
But Florida State got left out. They were undefeated last year. And let's see, Michigan.
But
and
I think that it's totally different. I think it's
Texas had a loss too.
The makeup is just totally different. I think the criteria is going to be different. I cannot wait for the first ranking to come out so we can kind of get a glimpse at what this committee is going to value, right?
Well, what we know is that it's either going to be the SEC champ or the Big Ten champ at one.
I think so. But if the Big Ten champs Ohio State undefeated, how do you – they would have beaten Penn State, Michigan, and Oregon or USC.
You're about to trick me into advocating for the SEC strength of schedule. But what I will say – I won't go that far. But what I will say is that I think if the SEC champ is Georgia, Bama, or Texas, which it most likely will be, and they only have one loss.
To each other.
Yes. Their schedule is going to have been tougher than Ohio State's. And depending on who Ohio State plays in the Big Ten championship game, if Georgia avenges their loss to Bama.
That's true.
And Ohio State plays Iowa again. You know, or something like that. I think that's how that ends up happening.
Maybe so. We'll see. It's going to be this has been an exciting year already. But, man, there's some good football to come in the next several weeks.
It's about to cool off.
Yeah, it's going to be cool next week.
Yes, sir. Man, in the 50s.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Football weather.
Yes, sir. That's been another edition of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running, now open downtown Bainbridge. Your athletic and running shoe headquarters are also a Lululemon retailer. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can listen to the podcast on your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Apple Podcast, whatever you like to use. Also, on Saturday mornings on the Flint Media family of radio stations. We're signing off here in the first week in October. Look forward to talking to y'all next week, boys. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
See y'all.
Rivertown Running is now open in downtown Bainbridge, Southwest Georgia's newest running and athletic shoe store, with brands you know like Brooks, Features, Mizuno, New Balance, and more. And Rivertown Running is a local Lululemon retailer. That's right, don't go out of town, shop local for your favorites. Rivertown Running is also your local pickleball headquarters. So whatever you need, they can get you moving. Rivertown Running, 214 East Water Street, Suite 3 in downtown Bainbridge. Now open.